Thank you, Todd. What a great worship time. I, on the other hand, am not 52. So perhaps I'm not playing with a full deck. 52. Anyway, thanks. Yeah, I do want to tell you. Now, you introduce yourself, and we appreciate that. And I think I'll introduce myself a little more. Give you an idea of what I do on a regular basis when I'm not doing this. Let's look at my family. I've got a picture, I think, of my family. There on the far left is my mother-in-law. And my wife tells me that she loves me more than she loves her. I was their first son-in-law, and they were wonderful people. And then there's my wife right next to me there on my left there. And then next is my new daughter-in-law, Michaela. And you see she's in that wedding dress because it was at the wedding just 2-3 weeks ago. And then my son, he's not looking at the camera, he's looking at the baby. But then there's my daughter in the red dress and her husband in the dark suit. And then my little grandson, Austin, who in the picture is just 8 months old. And so we're thrilled to have a family like that. The wedding was really something. In fact, the next shot might give you an idea of what we did at the wedding.
Right. 3, 2, 1,
fire! Isn't that fun? They start their marriage off with a bang. It's so much fun to be there, and my son, actually, Michaela and my son asked if I would do the service. And 3 weeks ago, for those of you who aren't tracking yet, 3 weeks ago was May the 4th. He gets married on May the 4th. Now, he has a reputation. When he was at Biola, he and his roommate redecorated their dorm room. And it was so amazing because it looked just like a battle station on the Death Star in Star Wars. And in fact, they had a showing of his dorm room, and there was a line of 100 people waiting all down the hallway at Biola in one of the dorm buildings. And it had food, and some of the food... there was like Hoth snow, a little snowy type things. Other meatballs, they were like Darth meatballs or something like that. So they all had a fun, cute name to it, and my son built this room that looked like a battle station. Anyway, so fast forward. Now my son is working in the industry, the film industry. He builds sets and props for people like Zach King and Mr. Beast and Beyonce The Weeknd? Is there something called The Weeknd? Has anybody heard of that? Oh, really? It's a band thing? Well, whatever. My son helped build stuff like for that, those kind of people. And he shines the light in that world, in that sometimes very dark world. And so that's part of what he does. And that's an extension of what I do. Let's see. Let's go ahead and show the video of my deal.
Thank you.
fun. I am so thrilled to do that as my full-time gig. I get to help young people tell stories built on the foundation of God's Word and filled with faith, hope, and love. And I think that Hollywood doesn't know about that stuff very much. You don't find too many good faith-filled movies coming out of Hollywood. Some we do, and they're fantastic. But why don't we send a few more missionaries there? And so that's my goal, is to send some missionaries, some young filmmakers, into kind of a dark mission field. And so I hope you'll look us up and find out more about what we do, because it is fun. I love it. Anyway, let's get into the Word here. I am told that, let's go with the Scripture. Ephesians 6:4, parents are not to provoke their children, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, parents, we all want that. We want to bring our kids up in the admonition of the Lord. We want them to understand and to follow the Lord all their lives. But we sometimes can, because we're not perfect as parents, we provoke one another. I provoke my wife quite a bit. The kids are out of the nest, you know. But so how do parents provoke, or let's go with the positive way. How do we not provoke our children? Do the kids have any ideas? How could parents honor us? Honor you, being the kids. How can your parents honor you? What's a good way for your parents to honor you? Yeah, buddy. Listen. Let's be quiet and listen. Some parents could listen more. Yeah. Lead your parents to Jesus? That's great. There are lots of ways to honor our children. Now, this is not God's top 10. Yesterday, we talked about God's top 10. One of the commandments, one of the top 10, was children, honor your parents. Now I want to talk about parents honoring our children. And I think there's many ways we can do that. And I want to give you some practicalities so that we won't end up provoking them, but we'll end up honoring them and they in turn honoring us. Okay, so let me give you some practical ways. Now, the first one that I had to put here was don't lie. And I think that even goes as far as not exaggerating too much. I'll exaggerate. I mean, after all, acting is a lie, because the actor is pretending to be somebody else. So there's some discernment that has to happen, but we need to be characterized by the truth. We can't tell our child who answers the door or the phone, tell them I'm not home. Tell them I can't get to the phone right now. We shouldn't tell our children to do that. Let's face it ourselves. Go up and say, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk to you. You can do that. Or you can say, I don't have time for you. But we don't need to ask our children to lie for us. And we certainly need to be characterized by the truth. My daughter, when she was, we would call her our truth girl. She really did love the truth. And I think that as we practice the truth, and live a life of truth, we will begin honoring our kids, because they'll recognize the truth from the lie. There are a lot of lies in our society today, a lot of lies that are aimed right at our children. Let's show them and live in truth. And number two, I'm going to give you five ways, and that's one, don't lie. Number two is do stuff. Do stuff with your kids. My daughter and I would go to breakfast once a week, and we went to the same place, Caro's on Mount Vernon in Bakersfield. Caro's on Mount Vernon is a typical Caro's breakfast plate restaurant. Not great food, not a really great atmosphere, but it was close. And my daughter and I just went there, and we got to know the waitress Dawn. And Dawn, she, D-A-W-N, I guess, she had a son who was a junior higher at the time, and she would ask me, she knew I led junior high campus life groups and stuff, and so she would talk to me about her son while my daughter's right there, and she wouldn't monopolize the time, but we got to talk, and I got to help her with her son, and my daughter got to see that while we're eating breakfast. Now, she could see it at church because after church, parents like to stay and talk, and the kids like to go, right? The kids are tugging on dad, you know, saying, come on, dad, it's time to go. Oh, wait, I got to talk to these people. That happens sometimes, and that's one way to provoke our kids. To do stuff with your kids that's fun to do, that they enjoy doing. We went camping a lot, too. We went to Balch Park, and my daughter caught a fish, and we were so excited. So we put it on a little stringer, left it in the creek, and then went on a little hike of the redwoods, and then came back, and the fish was gone. I know, and we were so disappointed at that. We were going to eat that thing, but the fish was gone. Somebody had come along, cut off the head, left the head there on the string, and then took the body of the fish. I know. So we prayed for those people, for justice, that's all. But we love to go camping. One year, my daughter, I was working at Youth for Christ, and my daughter and I, the boss had a daughter at the same age, the same time, and so our daughters kind of grew up together for the first couple of years. Anyway, they were about 5 years old, and we said, let's take them camping. So my boss and his daughter, me and my daughter, we go camping again, and he fixes this. He's a camp cook. He loves doing that. And my daughter and I and his daughter, we'd go off fishing and hiking, but he would get the kitchen ready and get food ready. So we had a great little weekend, I think two nights, and then on the morning that we were leaving, he fixed this giant breakfast. Eggs, pancakes, and sausage. It must have been everything that was left over. I don't know. But we felt like, well, we got to eat some of it. And we ate probably more than we should have because on the way down the road, you get the idea, right? And I'm not feeling great. I'm in the back seat with my daughter, and he's driving. And my daughter said, Dad, I think we need to pull over. I don't feel so good. And I said, okay. I tapped my friend, my boss, on the shoulder and said, come, you know, we probably need to stop. Right then, she just hurls in my lap, okay? So I put my legs together to try and hold a little puddle of puke right there in my lap. And I said, it's okay, honey, don't worry, you know, because she felt so bad about doing this to Dad. But we pull out and we get out and my friend, my boss, had a towel, so I was able to wipe off most of it, wipe her off, and got back in the car. Everything was fine. I think we still have that towel. I'm not sure. I think we still have that towel, which is maybe an artifact or a relic of some sort at this time. So that was a lot of fun. We also went hiking to Mount Whitney. Hiking isn't. We went backpacking. So we backpack up to trail camp, spend the night there, and then summit the mountain and then come back. And so my kids really love doing that. And only a few years ago, we were able to do it all together. But I took my daughter when she was 11. I took my son when he was 10. And we made it to the top. It was great. Had a good time. But I noticed that my son and my daughter were different. Even lately when they're adults. But at the time, my daughter would see a leaf or, you know, some kind of a rock formation or something. She said, oh, that looks like a flower. That is so pretty, and that's wonderful. And then my son would come along, and he'd see the same leaf. He'd say, that looks like a gun. Right? Our kids are that way. But we did that kind of stuff. We did stuff together, and it wasn't all that expensive. It was something we could do, and it ended up being valuable for me. There's a great author and speaker, Josh McDowell. Some of you may have heard of him. Josh McDowell, I heard him say once, he said, I'll work with and take in any teenager as long as I have the first 8 years with them. And his point is, when we train our kids when they're young, when we do things with our kids when they're young, later when they grow up, they're going to be much better, much easier to handle, much more, healthy in their spirit. So let's do things with our kids. Number three, if you're taking notes. If you're not taking notes, number three, celebrate their spiritual birthday. I told you yesterday about how my daughter came to Christ, my wife in the snow, and then how my son came to Christ. My daughter calls and says, Seth just accepted Christ. So they have a spiritual birthday. We celebrate their physical birthday, naturally, have a little party maybe and gifts all around. But the spiritual birthday is something a little more intimate. We're together and we'll give them something, a gift, usually very inexpensive. And my wife will order a cake, usually from Baskin Robbins or something like that, ice cream cake. But we give them a gift, and it has to be a meaningful gift. And many, at first, it was just an age appropriate Bible, a Bible that's just for a 6-year-old or 10-year-old or whatever. So at first, that was kind of easy. But then we had to get creative and find other ways, other kind of gifts that had meaning and significance. And I remember one gift for my son was a plum bob. And you're probably asking yourself, self, what's a plum bob? Maybe some of you know. It's a string with a weight at the end. And usually the weight has a pointer at the bottom to mark a point. But the idea is that you tie the string off at the ceiling or up high against a wall, and then it would hang straight, and you'd be able to tell by the string if the wall was straight, was built straight. So the wall, if the string and the wall are not parallel this way, then if they're at an angle, then the wall isn't straight. The plumb bob always is. And we took that from a chapter or a verse in Amos, Amos chapter 7, verse 7. This is what he showed me, the prophet says. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And so God, in this passage, God is using it as judgment, because God holds the plumb bob, the plumb line up, and sees that the wall is not straight. And he's talking about Israel not being straight, and so he's going to pass judgment. However, my son and I, we kind of said, okay, that's true, of course, but for our situation, we want to, when we keep building new things, we want to make sure that they line up with the plumb, so that it's square, so that it's straight, so that it's right. And so my son still has, at least last I checked, still has a plumb bob in his toolbox. I don't. What's that? Oh, I thought somebody said something. So that's a plumb bob, plumb thing. Number three, have a celebrate their spiritual birthday. Let's see. My son's is August 9th, and my daughter's is March 2nd. That's their spiritual birthday. And now that they're adults, it's really difficult to find something for them. So we're kind of tapering off, and we're going to let their own kids take care of that. Let's see. Number four, you want to brag about them publicly. Brag about your kids. I mean, God did it with Jesus. God bragged in public. Let's see. Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. God the Father says this. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am pleased. I am well pleased." God was so pleased with his Son that he told everybody all about it. That's kind of cool. Now, I don't have the voice of God, clearly. But I can brag about my son and my daughter, and hopefully you've heard a little bit about that already. You've caught that I'm pretty proud of both my son and my daughter. My son, I would try to teach him how to work on things and build things, and that's why he does that now for a living. But early on, we're trying things. I'm trying to teach him, and one time we're working on something with the car, and I think it had something to do with the electrical system in the car, and I needed his help, and he was glad to help, but he was like maybe seventh or eighth grade, so what's that, 11 or 12? Anyway, so he's about that age, and I said, hold this wire to the positive post of the battery, and he said, won't it shock me? I said, well, I need you to hold it there, and then I'll be able to turn the key and see if the starter's working. And he said, but won't it shock me? I said, well, I just need you to hold it there for a little while. I don't think it'll shock you. The electricity will go to ground. And he reluctantly said, okay. And so I went and turned the key, and the electricity went to ground all right, but right through his finger. And he got a good jolt and a little burn on his hand. And I apologize because I didn't want to hurt him. I didn't know it was going to do that. And I was so sorry. I just begged for his forgiveness. I said, okay, son, let's calm down and let's think. Maybe we need to switch gears and go to a different project. And I said, let's go learn about the table saw. he said, okay. So that's number four. Tell your child that you're proud of them. This is part of bragging on your kids. I remember telling my daughter we were on the way to school or something like that, and I don't know, she might have been 10, and I said, honey, I'm so proud of you. And she understood, and she said, why? And I wasn't quite ready for that. I wasn't quite ready to say why, because I thought that'll be enough. Because I know I need to say good things, but I should have been prepared to say, and I came up with something, but we don't need to say empty words to our kids. We need to say what we really mean. We're really proud of them, yes, but let's have a good reason why. And I think I said, you choose your friends so well. Your friends are Christian, your friends are supportive, and they're truthful. That worked out pretty good, but don't forget to have a why in there. I'm proud of my kids because of this, and we tell our kids, I'm proud of you because of this or that. So we celebrate their uniqueness and they're part of our family. Make a big deal of their milestones, and this is also number four. Make a big deal of their milestones. When Seth was, when he turned 13, from 12 to 13, that's a big deal. He's going to be a teenager, just what the world needs, more teenagers, right? And so here he is, going to be a teenager, and I said, I need to do something special. And I had read a book about raising a modern-day knight, and maybe you've seen it. It's an older book, but I thought, my son needs to be more of a knight. And he already was a great kid, but here he is about to turn 13. So I brought in the scoutmaster, another pastor friend, a neighbor dad that was part of our great neighborhood. And so I had maybe seven or eight men there. We brought them in, and because I was a youth pastor, I got to use the youth room, brought the men in. And we had a barbecue, and it was just great, root beer in a glass bottle. And so we had good music playing, and it was fun. But we turned down the music, and we started to talk. And my son was kind of like in the center of a circle of guys, all pouring into him truth about who he is and who he was at the time. So these men were very respected by him because they had helped him in his life. And this meant the world to him. This little dinner, he was one of the men. And it just built him, I think, so much. We celebrated this milestone of turning 13, and it made a world of difference in his life and in our life as a family to have those men do that. I would love them to the end of their days. Then pray for them. Number five, pray for your kids and their future and their future friends and their future family and their future spouse. Hopefully you'll meet my wife today. She's coming up this afternoon. When we found out that we were pregnant for the first time with my daughter, Hannah, my wife started praying immediately. She prayed, and she would pray every day. And she would pray scripturally. She would often be in the bed with the Bible on her lap, just looking. And I knew that she's praying for our child who's not born yet. And she was praying for our child who was not born yet, praying for her husband. Or at the time, we didn't know if she was a boy or girl, so pray for your spouse. My wife did that, and she would write down the scripture verse that really meant that she was praying for our child. And she would write that verse down, and she would pray that verse for our kid. She wrote all those down, and she just didn't stop. Every night she would write another verse, or every week she would write another verse. She has hundreds of verses, and, you know, the verse might say, obey your parents in the Lord. And then she would write under that, she would write, dear Lord, please let Seth be an obedient son. Let Hannah be an obedient daughter. Because the scripture said, obey your parents. And so my wife put that together, and she had to go to a baby shower years later, had to go to a baby shower. And she was wondering what to give this young mom. And so she wrote out these in a scroll, these verses, and a little, dear Lord, I pray that my child would do this. She gave that to the mom, the mom-to-be. And that mom just started crying. This is just exactly what she needed. And all the other ladies there were just amazed at that. So long story short, my wife, she said, why don't I just print them up in a card, like a playing card, and do that. And she said, I'll make a deck, 52 cards, 52 prayers, and so parents could pray once a week. And so she did that. She ordered 5,000 of these decks, and all printed in America. She could have gone to China for this, or could have ordered them from China, but she said, no, we're going to print in America because that's what we want, and it's a high value for us. And the cards are slick. They're really nice. And she had me make a little wooden stand, repurpose some wood for a stand to put the card in there, and it sets on the counter, and she'll change it every week. It's in our house. Obviously not 5,000 of them, but she's giving them away and selling some too. And so it's really fun to have her do that and to help equip other young moms in their prayer life with their children. So I encourage you. She'll be here this afternoon, and I hope she's going to bring some of those cards with her. Take a look at them, see what you think, and let us know. That'd be great. But that's my number five way to honor your kids, is to pray for them. And don't stop. Even when they get old and leave the nest, and when they have their own children and even grandchildren, we can still keep praying for our children. We can pray that they will not turn from the Lord. We can pray that they will lead their kids to Christ and their grandkids, and that it will go on for all time. I'll tell you about Sherry. Sherry was a little seventh grade girl in my youth group. And at the time, I had just gotten to this church that didn't have any kind of youth ministry. And I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'll try and build one. And so the first little girl that came was Sherry, and nobody else came to youth, to our Sunday school class for that. And she was so shy and so quiet and so cute. She was just a sweet little girl, and she had her Bible, and she was actually just reading it before we started. And so I just got the chance to talk to her. I said, you know, we're going to build a youth group, and maybe you could bring a friend or two. And so the next week she did. She brought a friend, and the two of them, very quiet, just with their Bible open, and we studied a little bit. Not long after that, we have 12 or 13 kids, and we're able to do some more game-type stuff. We had a great time, and Sherry began to blossom, and she became a real leader in the ministry. And I'm big on student leadership, and so I released her to do some of the leadership in the youth group, and she was fantastic. And now she has a son of her own. She has, I think, the three adopted kids who were kids from next door, but the next door, the parents died. And so the kids, they said before they died, they wanted to give the kid, let the kids have Sherry and Lorenzo. And so they're raising more kids even now. And I hear, there's somebody who has a house full of kids, raising a lot of kids. I heard in prayer this morning. Clayton, thank you very much. Clayton, just an amazing ministry you've got there with so many kids. I love it. Anyway, so Sherry now is an adult, and I was thinking about this, and I thought, what's the point of that? Sherry and her brother Travis, before they, I think they were 16 or 17, at that age, their stepdad wanted to adopt them. And it was a beautiful family, and I got to go to the ceremony where the judge said, here's all the paperwork, and here you, he took a statement and whatever. And then he took a stamp, and he took the form, and that stamp, he did got the ink on it, and he, boom, wait a second, boom. Where's that cannon? No, I'm kidding. He put the stamp down on that paper, and at that moment, they were children of this stepdad, Danny's children. And I think that's the case for all of us, isn't it? We're all adopted. We're all adopted into the kingdom of God. If we're believers in Christ, then we are part of his family. And he's bragging about us. And he's on our side. If we want to know what God, if we want to have a closer relationship with God, and you want that real bad, rest assured, he wants it more than you do. He wants that relationship with us. And so, with all of those things said, honor your children with love and with truth and with celebrations and with prayer. Would you pray now? Let's do that. Almighty God, we worship and adore you. We thank you for being our King, our owner, because you are the one who has created us. You are the one who loves us. So God, use us for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.